إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers, focus turns ordinary light into laser. Ordinary light at best illuminates. Laser can cut through steel. And the difference is focus. Same light. That's why I begin with that to remind myself and you that so also in terms of our life will pass. Time will pass, time has to pass. Time is not in our control, so life will pass. The question is, what is the focus of that life? What will be achieved at the end of that life? That is the key. Somebody sent me a photograph that they took of me 34 years ago, 1980, in Guyana, in South America, on the Burbage River. And when I saw that photograph, I sent it to my brother. And my brother asked me, he said, where did it all go? 34 years, where did they go? 1982, 2014, 34 years. So my brother asked me, he said, where did it all go? And I remember the ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask this question. The question will be asked to those who will go into the Jahannam. We hope that we are saved from the fire, inshallah. We ask Allah for His mercy and protection. But they will be asked this question, how many days did you stay? How many years did you stay? How many years did you stay on the earth? And they will say, Yawman aw ba'da yawn. Maybe a day, maybe part of a day. And that applies to all of us. Seriously, I wrote something also about that, but 34 years, that is more than the lifespan of some of you here. I'm not saying that 34 years was wasted. Alhamdulillah, I don't think it was wasted in my case. I tried to do something with it. But that is not enough. The question I ask myself is it still light? Maybe it's not darkness, but is it light or is it laser? That is the question. Question is, something happened, something I did, and I hope some of that was good, but did it have focus? Is it enough to get me into Jannah? And I know the answer of that also. So the point is that what is it that we are doing? What focus is there? Very simple thing to remind ourselves. Sometimes we have on Sunday evenings when some of our brothers have the tawfiq to come here in the evening, we have a small halaqa. And last time we had the halaqa, I got everyone to sit with the Quran and I said, okay, just read. Read from anywhere. And I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. Because out of maybe 15 people who were there, there were only two who could read the Quran properly. And I'm not talking about all the, all the finer points of tajweed and whatnot. I'm saying without making mistakes and without spelling each word three times, reading with some level of fluency, out of two people, out of 15 people, only two could read it properly. And there were others who simply could not read. And most of them were people who sort of limped along with great difficulty. To read one ayah took them a long time. So, of course, to encourage them and so on, I told them the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that the one who makes an effort to read will get two rewards. He gets one reward for the effort and one reward for reading. But that hadith is fine. That hadith applies to whom? That hadith applies to the one who cannot read and who is trying to read, who is trying to learn and is doing it on a daily basis. Does it apply to somebody who is 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old? He spent 50 years doing what? And he still, at the age of 50 plus, he still cannot read one line of the Quran with fluency. If the person did that with the English language, then you would laugh at him, you would laugh at his parents, you would say, what kind of people are these? They are jahiloon, they are illiterate. You're living in a city like this and you can't even read one line. What do we say about the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How come we are not equally, I don't know what, equally shocked or ashamed or whatever, but certainly we are not happy. How is it we are not in that situation when it comes to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And do remember, I'm not even talking about understanding it, I'm not talking about reflecting, I'm only talking about reading nazira, reading by looking at it. The very basic first step. So, what does it tell us about our focus? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, live in this world, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharib, like a stranger. He said, live in this dunya, live in this world like a stranger. But how do we live in this dunya? And the akhirah, which is our belief, which is our faith? Which one of us sitting here or listening to this does not believe that there is akhirah? Which one of us does not believe that we are going into a life which will never end, whether it is good or bad? Is there anybody who does not believe that? But if we believe it, then what is it we are doing for it? That is the question. And if we are in a state where we can't even read the Quran, forget about anything else, and you know, what is the point of talking about anything else when absolutely the first step itself is missing? Seriously, I remind myself and you, we need to focus on our own lives. We need to ask ourselves these questions. Like yesterday we said, what is my goal for the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Similarly, what is my goal for learning about Islam? I'm not talking about masail. Everyone is interested. They go to this course, that course, this masala, that masala. I'm saying practicing of the deen. We are in a state where if there is a class happening, for example, on the seerah, which happens here, people don't come. They have to be coaxed and they have to be, you know, reminded and this and that. Now, why would you not attend a class on Seerah? Seeratul Nabi. One, because the teacher is boring. Method of teaching is boring. Second, I know about the Seerah already. I read about it already. Right? So, let us say both of these are correct. Teacher is boring and you know about the Seerah already. But my point is it a teacher teaching seerah or is it a clown dancing on a stage? Which one? A teacher has to give you information. It doesn't necessarily have to be interesting. Doesn't necessarily have to be entertaining. It is good if you have a teacher who is also interesting and entertaining. But is that a criterion for a teacher? Was Imam Ahmad entertaining? Was Imam Malik entertaining? Was Imam Abu Hanifa, when you read about him and so on, was he an entertaining teacher? Was Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, was he an entertaining teacher? Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani's Taqiyya Kalam was Ya Ghulam. Was he an entertaining teacher? So, what are we looking for? And I know the seerah, I read the seerah. First of all, Allah alam. If you can't even read the Quran one line correctly, I don't know how much of seerah you would have read. But my point is, even if you read, is reading the seerah the purpose of seerah, or is it practicing the purpose of seerah? So even if you know the seerah, even if you read the seerah, even if you heard about the seerah, if you hear about it another 100 times, it can only do you good. Because out of a class, if you take out one single aspect of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and if you can bring it into your life, that will take you to Jannah. So, two possible excuses for not attending a class. This is the reality of those two excuses. And third excuse is, I was doing something else. Now, my point is, a class on seerah is ibadah. Even if you come to the class and go to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward in keeping with His majesty and grace for every second that you spent in that class. Now, what else were you doing which could be better than that? I'm not saying there's nothing better than that. Maybe you were making tawaf of the Kaaba, wallahu alam. Maybe that whole time of 2 hours you were spending reading Quran. But if it was not that, what else were you doing during that time of the class on seerah, which was better for you, not for anybody else? Not for anybody else. That time which you spent, those 2 hours, this is the point of focus I'm saying. Those 2 hours that you spent, instead of being in the class on seerah, you were doing something else. What I'm not saying you're doing haram. I know you will not do haram. But that halal which you were doing, was it ibadah? Was it something for which Allah will give you Jannah? You decide. It's your life. I don't get your Jannah. You decide. And if it was not that, then you just did yourself out of 2 hours of life. And you consciously chose to do something which has less value or no value in comparison to doing something which would have had the value of ibadah, without you making any effort other than putting your backside in a chair. After all, if you attend the class on seerah, what effort have you made? Zero. Except for getting your body into the masjid and putting your backside into a chair, what other effort have you made? The effort is being made by the one who is teaching. He is reading, he is doing whatever research, so on and so forth, he is talking, he is, you know. What effort have you made? That effort just to come into the masjid and sit and listen to the class of seerah, even that you don't want to do. And it's your life. It is your life. We sit here for the Fajr reminder. Maybe it is 5 minutes, maybe it is 10 minutes. Someday I get carried away, I talk about 15 minutes or something. May Allah forgive me and please make dua for my maghfirat for talking about Allah for more than 5 minutes. But there are people who sit here and people who disappear. Or at the same 5 minutes, when you go away from here, the 5 minutes hasn't become 10 minutes. The 5 minutes has not become 15 minutes. It is not that you are going to go home and sleep more comfortably. But you just did yourself out of 5 minutes of ibadah and dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, on the day of judgment, you will realize the value of that 5 minutes on your scale of deeds. You will realize the value of that 5 minutes on your scale of deeds. That is the point I'm making. What is the focus? I'm not inviting you to my class. Believe me, I get nothing out of it because I don't charge money for it. I don't get anything out of it. Even if there is one person, I will talk. My mother is witness to that. Makes no difference to me whether anybody comes or doesn't come. I talk for myself. I'm not inviting you to my class. I'm saying focus on your own life. Focus on your own life. Make the right choices. If you don't make the right choices, you are the one who's going to regret. And if you do make the right choices, you are the one who's going to be very, very happy. But let us focus. Don't let this life just go away, because the life will go away. There's no way this life is going to stay. The life has to go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world like that. The sun rises, the sun sets, time passes. And for every second, every minute, we will be asked to give account. And if that second, that minute was spent in the dhikr of Allah, then on the day of judgment, we'll say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me 5 minutes on my scale, and that 5 minutes is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the right choices, to pick and do what is beneficial and to leave out what is not beneficial. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.